sometimes the Lord lays a song on your heart, and I've been thinking of this song all week. I don't know why, but it's obviously going to go with the services. Haven't heard this song sing in a long time. A Crown of Thorns.
Amen.
Song for us this morning?
Good morning, everyone. You know what? We know one day we're going to get home. But you know what? As we travel the narrow road that God has put out before us, troubles and trials gonna come our way. But you know, God always puts on my heart, when I'm troubled, he puts on my heart this right here. He says, I will not forsake thee nor leave thee. In thy hands I hold you, in thy hands I hold thee. I will not forsake thee nor leave thee. Why? For I am your Redeemer, and I will care for thee. Brother, please.
We made the announcement last Wednesday. I believe that Bob put something in the bulletin there about it. We lost one of our good missionaries down in Mexico, Brother Lyle McCoy, went to be with the Lord. He had leukemia, and he went to came here to the States from a mission field to receive the chemotherapy treatments for his cancer. And he went into the hospital, and the very first treatment that they gave him, chemotherapy, he apparently had a violent reaction to the chemicals in it, and he died. He left his wife, a widow. He has three sons, 10-year-old boy, 8-year-old, and a 6-year-old. So I would urge you to pray for the McCoy family in your devotions, all right? Let's open our Bibles this morning to John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I want us to read verse 44. Without reading the context of it, notice that this is a statement that our Lord Jesus Christ himself made. And he was speaking to some Jews in Jerusalem. And he said to them, "Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. We learn here that Satan is a liar and a deceiver. It's pathetic that there are so many people in the world today who do not believe in Satan. An equal number, I suppose, do not believe in God. But for those of us who know that there is a devil, it's amazing to see the power that he has in this world. And I speak about the political power that he has. I'm talking about the control that he has over the hearts and lives and minds of people. But then when you stop to think about it, every unbeliever is a citizen of Satan's kingdom of spiritual darkness. Those of us who are saved have been translated from that kingdom of darkness into God's kingdom of light. So there are only two kingdoms in the world: the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. One is Satan's kingdom, the other is God's. Now, many of the people today who are unsaved are unsaved because they've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. And that's our responsibility, to see that they hear. But there are a multitude of unsaved people who have heard, but yet have not believed. They've never accepted Christ. They remain loyal subjects to their king, Satan. And I want you to consider with me this morning a few of Satan's lies that he uses to keep his people in line and to keep them from believing the truth. You hear these repeated every day. And of course, I'm preaching this in Christian America, not in some heathen country where the voice of God is not heard. There is no God. Have you heard that? Do you know people who believe that there is no God? Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Today we call them atheists. The Bible says they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. There is no God. We studied this morning in Romans chapter 1. About the things of God are clearly seen from the things that he's created. The psalmist said in Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. There is a God. He has been busy in the past. He is busy today. It was Paul in Romans 1:20. It said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The psalmist again writes in Psalm 10 and says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts. So it's easy to say there is no God. Then another of Satan's lies is about the book that we hold in our hand called our Bible. You go back and study the history of the Bible and you'll find that generation after generation has tried to abolish the Word of God. They would do it by gathering up all the copies that they could find and burning them. They would do it by passing laws, making it a death penalty for owning, possessing, or reading a Bible. It's that way in some countries today. I told our congregation the other Wednesday night about a bookstore owner in China who was a Christian, and in the back of his store he had a printing press that he printed portions of the Word of God and would distribute them until the authorities found out. And of course, they put a stop to it. They put him in prison. But they say the Bible is merely myths that are written by men. And I'm amazed at the attitude of unbelievers toward the Bible. They don't believe it. But yet they're afraid of it. They don't want it in their libraries. They don't want it read in public places or discussed. They don't want to hear it preached. They're afraid of it. But if you ask them about it, they say, it's a book of fiction. We refuse to accept its authority as the Word of God. But God has an answer to this. through the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16. We're told that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God's book. Peter tells us that prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This book called our Bible is a unique book. It's different from all the other books in the world. Now, when Satan found out that he couldn't destroy it because the Word of God is indestructible, it lives and abides forever. God's already decreed that. He said, well, I'll confuse the issue. So today there are hundreds of books for sale that are entitled The Bible. And they are as different from one another as day is from night. So this liar, this deceiver, Satan, has bewildered the minds of the people, and they will say, well, I don't know which one is the right one. Therefore, I'll just abandon all of them. But he tries to tell people that the Bible is not the Word of God, that it is not the final authority. And another thing is about salvation. It's interesting when you go out here and ask somebody on the street, a stranger, what he believes about salvation. What's going to happen to you when you die? Well, I'm going to heaven. I hope. Well, how do you propose getting there? Well, I'll get there my own way. And that's about the greatest commitment you're going to get from them. But listen, many of those people believe in life after death. Now, I know that annihilation, the doctrine of annihilation, is coming on pretty strong nowadays, that there's nothing after life. But there are still a lot of people who don't even believe the Bible, who believe that after death there is something. They just don't know what it is. But all of them seem to have a hope of going to a better place when they leave this place. They even believe in a heaven without a God. But they have a desire to live in a place like they believe heaven to be, but they're just ignorant of the way to get there. Well, we've got a book that answers that question. Our Lord Jesus Christ over in John chapter 14 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. On another occasion, he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said, it's recorded in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath, present tense, hath everlasting life. If you believe on the Son, you have everlasting life. If you believe on the Son, you are saved. You're just as much saved now as you will be 1,000 years from now, if you believe in Jesus. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, there's your difference between your believer and your unbeliever and salvation. And then, today, you try to talk to somebody about sin. About sin. That's a laugh. What is sin? What is sin? I'm thinking, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, I read in the paper this week, where a whole bunch of marijuana shops got closed because they were within 600 feet of a school. And it's amazing how many of these little kids that go to middle school get headaches. They need a marijuana cigarette for that. Or maybe they didn't have any breakfast and they're hungry. They need a marijuana cigarette for that. They can think of a myriad of reasons why they need it. But the city comes along and said, okay, you can build within 601 feet of it, but you can't build with it within 600. That's across the street. But they don't know that it's sin. They don't know what they're doing. People will say, I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. I pay my debts. I'm kind to my neighbor. They measure themselves by others who are worse than they are in their estimation and deny their own sin. Let me give you something in Luke 18. I read this and got convicted on it. Maybe you will too. Luke 18, verses 11 and 12. I like this. You got two men, they're going to church. One of them, he belongs to the church. The other one, he's just an old sinner. But they both go to church. One of them's a member. He's a good member. He's there every time the doors are open. When the offering plates pass, boy, he puts his tithe in there. When they sing, he knows the verses to all the songs. He's a good Christian. They went to church. And they prayed. I like his prayer. You and I have prayed this prayer in our hearts, probably not orally, I'm sure. But remember, God knows our hearts. You don't have to say it for God to hear it. He reads our minds, He reads our hearts. But this guy had the audacity to say it. He said, God, I thank Thee. Oh, come into His presence with thanksgiving. God, I thank Thee. What are you thanking Him for? That I'm not as other men are. Haven't you ever said that? Haven't you ever thought it? When we think of other men are, we think of murderers. We think of drunkards. We think of dope addicts. We think of thieves and robbers and all such as this. We have a right in my heart, Lord, to say, I thank Thee that I am not as they are. But what I am, I'm not because of me. It's because of what God has done for me. Amen. But by the grace of God, there am I. Amen. You understand how he's praying? He's a Pharisee. I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. But he's praying a self-righteous prayer. He's bragging to God about his goodness. He said, other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. I'm not a sinner. I'm a good person. That's a lie of Satan. God says, 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's God's answer. All of my righteousness is as sinful rags in the sight of God, Isaiah said. The righteousness that I have that enables me to come boldly to the throne of grace, to enter in through the rent veil into the very presence of God, is the imputed righteousness of His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And I stand in Him and in Him alone. Don't believe Satan's lie that you're not a sinner just because you're better than somebody else. But what does Satan want people to believe about Jesus? Oh, Jesus was a good man. He was a real person. He really lived. He was a just man. But he was no more and no less. There are multitudes of people today who believe in Jesus, but will not accept the fact that He was the Son of God and God the Son. They will not accept the fact that He was God manifest in the flesh, that He was virgin-born child of God. They may admit that He was a good man, that He was a good teacher, but they deny His deity. There are 1.7 billion with a B, Muslims in the world today who believe that Jesus Christ was a real person and that He was a prophet of God. But they're not saved because they do not believe that He was the only begotten Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary and paid the price for the sins of the world by the shedding of His blood. That He was buried and that He rose again from the dead the third day and ascended back to heaven, and He's coming back again someday. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
He's the living Savior. One of the lies that Satan tells people and kind of really gets under my skin is, you don't need to go to church. Every empty pew in this church building is vacant because the person who should be sitting there has believed Satan's lie I don't need to go to church. Now, more people say that by their actions than they do by their words, of course. They may not articulate the words, but where are they on Sunday? We have to admit that it's like the old saying that going to church will no more make you a Christian than going to a garage will make you a car. Because the church does not save anyone, but it should be a place that you can go to get saved, shouldn't it? God says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day, and that's the day of the Lord, approaching. Consider the example of the early church. The believers in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And daily from house to house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. Somebody will say, well, I'll live my life as I please. I'm going to do things my way. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. Well, you go right ahead and do that, but don't expect to meet God at the end of your road. God says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof, the end, it's got an end. The ways of death. Jesus said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. If you found it, consider yourself lucky. And then Satan comes along and tells a lot of people, causes them to say, well, I don't believe in heaven or hell. 6 o'clock this evening, I'm going to be preaching a message on whatever happened to hell. We're going to talk about that, so I'm not going to spend too much time on this. But listen, you may not believe in heaven, you may not believe in hell, but what do you believe about death? Is death a reality? Whether you believe it or not, you're going to die. It will happen. So prepare for it. After death, the judgment. God says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. There's something after death. That's the judgment. No way getting around it. And that judgment will determine the eternal destiny of people's souls, where they spend eternity. Actually, that's determined already, but a lot of folks don't know it till it really happens. Because we read that scripture, he that believeth is not condemned, he that believeth not is condemned already. Heaven and hell are real, whether you believe it or not. Go as far as Revelation chapter 20. Let me read you this. He's talking about the dead. He's talking about what happens after this life has ended in death. John writes, and I saw the dead. Small and great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I remember in World War II, blackout in San Francisco, I was on a troop ship. We sailed at midnight out under the Golden Gate Bridge from San Francisco. And I was on deck, and there was a blackout. You couldn't see anything. And I stood out there and watched that bridge until the darkness swallowed it up, and we were headed toward Japan in the midst of the war. And I think it was about the second day out that one of the guys on board ship went berserk. He climbed up into the highest part of the ship's rigging and took a nosedive down onto hard steel deck. And I saw my first burial at sea when they wrapped his body up in a sheet, had it on a board, and they dumped it into the deep. And that comes back to me every time that I read this scripture about the sea giving up the dead that are in them. The devil also has lies about creation. And he substituted evolution for creation. That's a false so-called scientific theory that's been accepted and is now being taught as truth and fact to the children in our public schools, mandated by the Supreme Court of the United States, our country, land of the free and home of the brave. But God says, Psalm 139, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Today, 2011, babies are still being born the same way that they were in the Garden of Eden when Cain and Abel were born to Adam and Eve. The same way. There's no tadpoles in between. Mark chapter 10, verse 6, Jesus said, "From the beginning, the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." God made us. We didn't evolve from some lower form of life. I don't care who says it. Amen. Satan will lie, and he will deceive and lead people astray. But the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, will lead us into the truth concerning all of these things. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the blessing of your presence with us. We thank you for your divine Word and for the inspiration and for the encouragement that it gives us, the comfort that it gives us to know that there is a God and that He loves us and that He has saved us from our sins and that we have something to look forward to. Father, today, if there's one in this congregation who is not saved and does not know the Lord, I pray that today they will come and accept Him as their personal Savior and let the Holy Spirit give them the assurance that they are a child of God and that their future is assured. So have your will and way in this invitation. To your name's honor and glory, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
487.
487. Sing a verse of invitation. Come up and give a brief testimony. You may be seated if you like. And after he gives his testimony, I'm going to let him dismiss our service in prayer.
When I was 15, I was in a car accident that probably should have taken my life. A friend of mine was driving a Volkswagen, and it was over at the Otay Mesa refuge place. He was going to show me how he could drive down this windy hill. And right before he took off, I slid down in my seat and I put my seatbelt across my chest. And in the Volkswagens, they have a little, on the passenger side, they have a little handle. So I grabbed onto that handle and sure enough, he lost control of the car. And it spun out of control, and it probably did about 8-10 flips. His name was Mike Murphy. He was a big, strong, muscle-bound guy. And he actually broke the steering wheel and wound up in the back seat. So, and I felt a little bump on my head from, obviously, if I hadn't slid down, it probably would have just come down and totally crushed me. My door flew open and everything. So yeah, I've always known that God's been with me. He's been watching over me and everything. About 4 months ago, I started getting sick. I was dizzy. I was nauseated. Just something wasn't right. I knew something wasn't right. I kept going to doctors, went to ear, nose, and throat doctor, went to my general doctor. You know, they ran the blood test, they checked my heart, they did everything. Everything's fine. So, 5 weeks ago, I had a stroke. So I'm still going, I went to the emergency room. They couldn't see anything for me to be concerned about. They just sent me home, said, go see a neurologist. So the neurologist had an MRI done on me and a couple of MRAs. So I had a 1-inch area in my brain that showed that I had a stroke. So it took them 2 weeks finally to decide to put me on Coumadin to start thinning my blood out so I wouldn't have another stroke. I'm still dizzy, still groggy, and all this stuff. So Monday I went back to my doctor, said, "Doc, you know, I don't want to die and then have you guys do an autopsy and say, oh, if we had just done this test or done that test." So she said, "Well, Mr. Patterson, there's nothing wrong with you. Everything's, you know, your heart's checking out fine. Everything checks out." And she said, "But I'll go ahead and do an EKG and we'll do some chest x-ray and see what we can find." So they did an EKG and they found that my heart was in what they call atrial flutter. So it's going like 300 beats a minute. It doesn't have a chance to close all the way and push blood into my heart. So it took 4 months of me going to the doctor and having a stroke for them to finally do a test where they could say, "Oh, this is what the problem is." So now I've been to a cardiologist. He is supposed to run some tests on me on Wednesday. I don't know why it takes so long to get tests done. But I guess he doesn't think I'm in any serious danger because I'm on the Coumadin. I'm still groggy. I'm still tired. Just drained all the time. So, at least now we know what the problem is. And hopefully they can solve the problem, fix the problem. I know that God's, blessed me because he just gave me a little spot up here, which caused a little problem with my vision. It could have been, a lot worse. So, God's watching over me. I think my heart's still going like 300 beats a minute. When they put the stethoscope on here, it's normal. But it's a little area down at the bottom of the heart, they said, that's going like, that pumps blood into your heart. So that's the part that's doing like going wild. So your prayers on that would be appreciated. And I know God's watching over me. If he does decide to take me, I'll be in a better place. But hopefully I'll be around a while. I do want to praise the Lord for, when he looks at me, he doesn't see Walter Patterson. He sees Jesus Christ. So, yeah. So, okay, let's pray. Father, we, do thank you for your blessings, for watching over each and every one of us. We thank you for what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that when you do look at us, you see Jesus, and that you are truly concerned about each and every one of us, and that you want the best for each and every one of us. And we just thank you for that. And pray you would be with us this week. Help us to keep our eyes upon you, and just to have a heart for you throughout this week, throughout our lives, just to always know that you're with us. And we just praise you and thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
talking about your stock that dirt on 35. Yeah. But go back to when I used to play football. She said, it's connected to my phone. And I said, yeah, when you're playing football, you know, this guy's doing like a great song.
I think it's okay.
Turn this thing off. It's running. Stop.